know, you know.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's get to it.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
You know.
Don and Mike Show.
You know.
You know.
You know.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Here we go. Here's Guy Friendly. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
Gridley.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi.
A New York woman named Feely allowed her breasts to roam freely. The cops gave pursuit. She filed a lawsuit, and now they have to pay her $29,000. The city of New York has been ordered by a judge to pay a $29,000 legal settlement for the illegal arrest of a woman who was walking around topless 2 years ago. The woman is Jill Cockerow, who now goes by the name Phoenix Feely.
That's her last name?
Real name, Cockerow, now goes by Feely.
Feely.
Mm-hmm.
What's her real name again?
Cockerow. Wow.
Do that phonetically, please, for me.
Cockerow.
You're a pussy, Buzz. That's like ca-doodle-doo.
Right. Well, it's also improper, because the proper phonetics would be cock-a-row.
That's right.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Legal.
That's right.
You are perfectly legal.
I realize it is.
You are no pussy. You're the cock of the walk.
Feeling like it today. I'm the luckiest man alive.
Well, Phoenix Feely, as she likes to be known now, is an artist in New York's East Village. She'd been to an art show promotion, and even at 1:30 in the morning, it was still pretty hot in the city, so she dropped the top of her coveralls as she strolled along Delancey Street. A cop stopped her and told her to cover up. She didn't. And he wrote her up. She informed the cop that it's legal in New York for a woman to go shirtless and has been for the last 15 years. Cops hate it when you explain the law to them. So he also wrote her up for resisting arrest. Then he took her to the loony bin at Bellevue for 12 hours. She says her hair got pulled and, ironically, her coveralls got torn in the process.
Uh-huh.
Now she gets a $29,000 settlement.
Of course it's legal for women to go topless in New York City.
Yes, it should be.
Don't you remember all the times we went up there and we went out with Denise Oliver?
Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. Wasn't she hot? She was hot, especially when she let the coveralls fall off.
I can't tell you how many times people said, hey, look, who are those guys walking down the street with Yoko Ono?
She was hotter than Yoko balls.
Thank goodness we don't have the Yoko alarm anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank goodness.
And if you happen to be listening to Denise, what am I saying? Not a chance Denise Oliver is listening. Forget it.
Right. Is there a message you would have for Denise Oliver?
What would it be?
You don't really look like Yoko Ono that much.
You may have heard about this. Maybe you've seen tape. A half dozen teenagers were killed during a drag racing exhibition in Tennessee Saturday. The race was run in Selmer, Tennessee, middle of nowhere, about an hour and a half east of Memphis.
When he tried to correct it, he got back into it. And, I mean, he was just going down through there, and it was like it was throwing people up like a deck of cards. I mean, it all happened so fast.
Quite not.
It was a fundraiser for a charity called Cars for Kids. A professional dragster driver was demonstrating what's known as a burnout along a highway lined with spectators, but no guardrails.
He was on pretty good, and he stayed on it. Probably about when he should have let off was about where we were standing.
Quite not.
He's talking about the fact that a tire burn doesn't usually last for more than 50 feet, but this one did by a lot. The car skidded off the road. Quoting a 19-year-old spectator, it ain't really safe. They shouldn't have done it. No,
if you don't have education, then you can't hardly get a job.
No charges have been filed.
Swing's too hard for me.
What is it with kids and their dragsters and their cigarettes and their rock and roll music?
This was an adult, Rob.
How's that?
Yeah.
It's the biggest tragedy in Selmer, Tennessee, since a preacher's wife shot her husband to death in the parsonage earlier this year.
And that was bad.
Yes, it was.
Tough year.
Yeah.
Tough year for Selmer.
For Selmer.
Selmer, Tennessee.
When you're a jet all the way from your last cigarette to the first time you're gay.
Let me just say hi to Selma Hayek if she's out there listening. How you doing, baby?
Just outside of Washington, D.C., in Prince George's County, Maryland.
Buzz, yes? Please refer to it by its proper name, P.G. County.
P.G. County.
Or as I've also heard it referred to, Pistol Grip County.
That's true.
Rival gangs of homosexuals are at war in PG County, just outside of D.C.
You're kidding.
Stop that.
Gay gangs. Recently, a gang of gay and lesbian teens did battle with another gang of
gay
and lesbian teens.
Choose a side, Matt.
It wasn't pretty, and it wasn't Prada, as a 15-year-old boy was hit in the head with a stiletto heel he'd been wearing. He was also stabbed 4 times by a 19-year-old dyke. She and 5 other teenagers have been arrested. It took a month of detective work on MySpace for police to figure out who to arrest.
Oh, Phil.
You're right, Rob. They grow up so fast. By the time a kid's a cigarette-smoking teenager in the U.S., he or she already has a favorite brand. 3 out of 4 teen smokers say they're brand loyal.
Now.
Marlboro, of course, the favorite, probably because it's the safest. Newports and Camels tied for second. A new study says Marlboro has the best marketing, especially to white and Hispanic kids. Newports are the most popular with black teenage smokers.
What about now cigarettes, Buzz?
You didn't make the survey, which I don't understand.
How about more?
They didn't make the survey either.
Oh, okay.
Parliament?
Nope.
Kent?
Nope.
Pall Mall?
Really, just the top two here.
L&M?
Lucky Strike?
You could guess all day, but it's Marlboro's for whites and Hispanics and Newport's
basic.
For blacks, basically.
What about Costco, generic, where it just says cigarette?
Not on the survey.
Territon?
Oh, Territon, good one.
I'd rather fight than switch.
Fantastic ad campaign.
Raleigh, no longer with us.
Raleigh.
As are many of its smokers.
Raleigh.
Virginia Slims, I always go there.
Vantage.
Oh, fantastic. Carlton's.
Salem.
I think
we have Winston?
You didn't have Winston.
Winston, that's what I
thought. It tastes good like a cigarette should. Mm-hmm. American Spirit.
Ooh!
Benson and Hedges?
Benson and Hedges. Mm-hmm.
He makes his way in and then he goes.
He just opens the door and yells
hit
in.
Hit and run. 81% of black teens smoke menthols. The tobacco industry still...
All right, this is Robert the Mailman.
Not a smoker.
And the tobacco industry still spends $36 million on marketing every single day. $36 million a day.
$36 million a day?
Still, yes.
The whole tray?
The whole tray.
What?
Yeah, teenagers, they're all a bunch of punks and hooligans. Sure, it seemed like an innocent senior prank, planting cute little alarm clocks around the school all set to go off at 9:15 in the morning.
Terrific.
Alarm clocks shaped like little houses and butterflies. 150 alarm clocks.
Hey. Hi, I'm Greg House. You must...
There he is.
Some of the alarm clocks were shaped like him.
Little houses.
And butterflies, all made of plastic, 150 of them, placed strategically around the school. If fun came in sizes, this would be big fun. Colorful, plastic, bell-ringing fun. But here's where the kids went wrong.
Yeah.
To make it harder for the teachers to turn off the alarms or remove the batteries, each clock was bound tightly with duct tape. That's why the police brought in the bomb-sniffing dogs and evacuated Henrik Hudson High in Montrose, New York. And that's why 19 kids are now facing felony charges.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's our news on this Monday.
Happy news.
Until tomorrow, don't forget.
Hope those kids do some easy time.
A reach around is good every time. Stay tuned for Jay Leno in color.
Fantastic.
And the pranks stop being funny, of course, when somebody mails a white powdery substance to TV weatherman Sam Champion. Part of the Good Morning America office.
Buzz, excuse
yes.
me.
Yes?
Guilty.
You did that?
It didn't start off as a powder.
I know. That was my guess.
It's so humid and arid outside.
Still hasn't been identified.
Very well. All they have to do is taste it.
I sent him an envelope of my love.
Your phone will be ringing.
After watching Good Morning America every day, 1 inch from the screen.
Well,
especially when he had his checkerboard picnic shirt on.
It'll be misunderstood, like it always is.
Part of the Good Morning America offices in New York were shut down Friday afternoon for 5 hours after an employee opened a letter containing an unidentified white powder. Even though it wasn't anthrax, the offices had to be thoroughly cleaned to be safe. The envelope was addressed to weatherman Sam Champion. At last check, the substance, yes, still unidentified.
I'm Charles Gibson. Our lead story tonight, somebody sent an envelope of AIDS to Sam Champion.
Oh, my God.
Police say they're talking to a person of interest in the case.
We talked to Sam, and he said... Thank God his checkerboard shirt is okay.
It's actually Roker.
I wouldn't be surprised. Network newsrooms were among the targets for anthrax scares in the months after 9/11.
It's Roker via Willard.
Willard, he was the mastermind.
Yeah, conspiracy. No, Roker mastermind, Willard executed it.
Isn't Champions in there somewhere. If it's a sandwich with Roker on one side and Willard Scott on the other, I guarantee Sam Champion is the lean ham in between.
Well, maybe he sent it to himself then.
No, it's got
just to get the press.
Got
to
be Willard Scott, because if you ever met a more hateful man?
He is. He hates humanity, especially senior citizens.
Haven't you seen him when he? Haven't you seen him when he does his Smucker's Death Watch?
Yeah, making fun of all those poor people.
Hey, thank you very much, Matt. Here we go with the Smucker's Death Watch. Well, here is Robbie Spiewak, 102. God, he'll be dead any day now.
How about when he says, "Hey, look at this pretty young lady. She is not." That's not funny, Willard.
next Tuesday on the Today Show, he's going outside to trip them.
Hey, that's what I'd like to see. Bring them on.
Yeah.
Live. Live.
Good luck with that.
Doctors search for a cure for death. That's our story when we continue.
Huh?
Okay, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Listen while you BM. It's the Don and Mike Show.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
I love looking at our website when I'm on the toilet.
Yeah. Isn't it wonderful you've got a computer right in there, don't you?
I got Wi-Fi, Mike, and some of that NSFW stuff. Wow.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's lovely to do that. The BM.
Self-plumpkin. That's what I was giving myself when I was on our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com.
NSFBM.
Pretty nice website. It is. We got set up with a bunch of Photoshop stuff and message boards and downloads.
Videos.
And the whole show is now available every day for downloading on your iPod or MP3. Go to WJFK.com to download the whole thing.
And if you're not careful, you might learn something.
Cosby says that.
Used to, yeah.
If you're not careful, you might learn something along the way. Who's your agent? Rose and Riesenheisen. Chet Kincaid.
Chet Kincaid. Great
Hello,
character.
Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Hey, Mr. Red, White, and Blue. With recent talk of making English the official language of the U.S., here's a little perspective.
That's right.
English is already the official language of the world, even though more people speak other languages. There are more English speakers in China than in the U.S. and Canada combined.
I find that hard to believe. There's so many of them.
Uh-huh.
Chinese people, I mean.
Many of them have learned our language. Only 1 in 5, in fact, of the world's English speakers live here in the U.S.
Why does that frighten me?
How come they've not learned R and L yet, then?
I think that's not going to happen.
You know, flied lice, all that stuff.
They're up to something.
Yes.
There was, at least in recent years, a movement in China, in Japan, a lot of parents
a bowel movement.
Were having surgery for their children, a tongue surgery, supposedly to make it easier for them to pronounce R's and L's so they could speak English more clearly.
I'm a native Beijing.
Because I can't tell you how many times when Renault had Le Car out, I would talk to my many Asian friends who would say, I love that Recar by Leno.
Recall.
Thank you. Recall by Leno.
That is raffable.
I looked into a tongue surgery for Carrie that made it harder for her to pronounce anything.
So, I want to just mention again as we come up on a long holiday weekend.
Yes.
Yeah,
I want to stand to say, don't drink and drive. This message brought to you by Lad. That doesn't even translate, I know.
Lad. Yeah, Rad.
Well, no, I was going for mad, though.
Mad doesn't work.
Mad, no.
Isn't there something rad? Well, Norrin rad. Silver Surfer.
Sure.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Three reasons the world's turned to English. One, the internet. 80% of what's on the internet is in English.
Right.
The second is jobs. If you want one of ours or one we've outsourced, it helps to learn English.
Yeah.
And three, culture. American TV, movies, and music are so popular around the world, people are learning English from them.
Poppycock, I don't believe this. I've been around the world, Buzz. I don't believe this.
Okay.
You don't believe that people are speaking more English than any other language?
No, we're hated around the world. Why would people want our language?
Yeah, we're hated, but we're hated because they're jealous.
English is the language of money, however, and that motivates people to learn English.
Also the language of Shakespeare.
Why don't you tell that to some of the lads who will be down in front of my local 7-Eleven tomorrow, waiting for the big bus to pick them up?
They'll catch on. Is there any chance we've been burying people alive? Doctors used to think the cells in our body started to die about 5 minutes after the heart stopped beating and the brain shut down, but a recent study of a dead patient's heart shows it takes hours for those cells to die. They've discovered that it's the return.
Oh, dear.
That's the return of oxygen to these cells, or to these organs, rather, that kills the cells. They've learned that the cells mistake this new oxygen for cancer and shut down. The brain, doctors have learned, only shuts down to conserve oxygen once the heart has stopped beating. The new thinking is that a stopped heart and brain might not necessarily mean that the patient is dead beyond recovery.
Hey, good news for you, Joe.
Wow. Joe's brain has been dead for how many years now?
How long has he been on the show? 7 years?
Well, look, he's living proof. He's alive.
He comes back every day.
He does.
Joe!
So you could say doctors are now looking for a cure for death. The venom of a black widow spider might be the next big thing in birth control, and it's not as painful as it sounds.
Bring it.
Researchers in Santiago say a spider that's only found in Chile produces a venom that contains a molecule for an effective contraceptive. It's a compound, they say, that's superior to synthetic spermicide.
What country is that?
Chile.
Chile.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, right. He can talk to fish underwater. Uh-huh. When he turns green, he grows in size. His clothes rip off from kryptonite. Look out. Uh-huh. Here comes the Spider-Man. Yeah. He's my favorite member of the Fantastic Four. His utility belt is really cool. His airplane is invisible. Spinach makes him super strong. Shazam. There goes the Spider-Man.
You know what are delicious?
Why?
Chile dogs.
Chile dogs.
The best part of this discovery about the spider venom being a good contraceptive, the best thing about it is how they discovered it. They were testing the spider venom as a treatment for erectile dysfunction. They got that idea.
Right. Put that on your thing.
They got that idea from farmers in Chile who had reported they had become incredibly virile after being bitten by this spider.
There's no spider here.
Here's one of those farmers.
Hey, yes. You know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
And do you know, really, no lie, not to make this all about Joe, although I do try to make every show all about Joe.
I know you do.
Did he regale you with the story outside, as he did me, about how he was bit by a spider this weekend?
No, I'd love to hear that.
He was.
Wow.
Joe?
Is he all right?
Yes, Don.
What was it like being bit by a spider this weekend?
It hurt.
You know what kind it was?
No, I don't.
Is it is the wound still bothering you?
No, it just looks bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did Joe tell you his other exciting story?
Which one?
That his dog opened the refrigerator and,
yes,
ate a ribeye steak.
Oh, I think I heard that. Or maybe you told me that one, too.
Well, you know me. I love retelling a good story.
A good yarn. A good fable.
Did I have that one right, Joe?
Yeah, that's correct.
He confirms that. Finally, in Antioch, California, a mother was surprised when her 2-year-old kept pushing away his sippy cup. That's just crazy, she said. He loves apple juice. And then she realized her 2-year-old son smelled like booze. Chalk it up to a wacky mix-up at the bar. No charges will be filed, and Applebee's has apologized. 2 identical pour bottles. One contained apple juice.
Duh.
The other contained Applebee's top-shelf margarita, a blend of the finest tequila and triple sec.
Way to give it your all.
Instead of apple juice. Maybe that explains why you're not feeling that margarita. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Sorry, fans. Sorry, fans.
Sorry.
Fans. Back tomorrow with a new episode. We will be. Good day to you, sir.
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 Hey, Head.
Check out this cancer diaper.
Peter North.
This is the Don and Mike Show.